Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Irish on Tap, a podcast about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, presented to you by On Tap Sportsnet. I'm your host, Brandon Suarez. You can follow me on social at BeatOn300, and you can follow our main account at On Tap Irish. Today, we're going to be breaking down the gut-wrenching loss to Ohio State, 17-14. I still am trying to get my voice back from this weekend, and we're going to get you guys ready for Duke Week because 1 week at a time, we're going to get this season back. I've always said on the show that we didn't have to go undefeated, just made everything a lot easier. Still have enough tough opponents on this schedule to turn the season around, but Saturday fucking sucked. Like, call a spade, right? First half, you get nothing going on offense in a year that your offense really has been a catalyst for you. Like, we've been able to score upwards of 30, 40 points every single week. You get two touchdowns. They both come in the second half. And you lose this one 17-14 at home. Terrible, terrible lead up to it, right? We'll start early. We'll start a couple plays before the eventual game-winning touchdown. But you go into the half down three. You own the entire second half, right? Like, you do your thing on offense. You're able to, after that Travion Henderson touchdown, right? You own the entire second half. You are able to get two touchdowns and you hold Ohio State until that very, very last drive, that last play with 1 second left. And it was shades of USC, it was shades of the push, the green jerseys at home, huge game, and just bullshit, right? Just, it's always fucking something with this team every year. And we get our hopes up. We get ready for the run. You know you got to go 12-0 because they don't respect us any other way. But I saw a lot of people saying we were the better team. I don't know, man. Like, both teams played real hard. It was a very close game. Do I think we deserve to win the game in the end? Absolutely. But DJ Brown drops what would have been a game-sealing interception. We had 10 men on the field twice. We ran cush zone coverage on 3rd and 19 with the fucking season on the line. Like, no man zone combo, no man, no nothing. You just line dudes up 11 yards off the ball and they get ran off the fucking line and they're able to get down to the 3 yard line. And bad coaching, I'm blaming it more on coaching than I will on the performances. Like, yeah, DJ Brown probably catches that pass 9 times out of 10, but the one that he didn't happen to be on Saturday, and it is what it is. 10 players on the field, 2 plays in a row is absolutely unfucking acceptable on any level of football, down to peewee football, down to flag football before you even wear the fucking helmet. You are not, you cannot let that happen in the biggest game of the season, the biggest game at Notre Dame Stadium since that Clemson game a few years back. It just cannot happen. And there's no telling whether or not we would have gotten the stop if you had 11 players out there. You never know, though. And for a guy that's a defensive coordinator, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. You should not have allowed, you should not have allowed the pass before it to get in that position. And yeah, you probably should have caught the pick. It was just compounding bullshit, play after play after play in the very winning time of the game. And we failed on every level. We weren't disciplined. We didn't have enough guys out there. Couldn't catch the fucking ball. Couldn't cover a fat chick in a phone booth. Nothing. So that's why we lost the game. It is what it is. It sucks. You should probably find more than 14 points in the first place if you want to beat Ohio State. You knew that it was going to be a game that we didn't necessarily have to be perfect. But it helps you a lot more in the long run when you know you're playing against a team that you're a level opponent with. And we haven't played against a team that we've been a level opponent with at all this season. The only game that we were a perceived closer opponent to was North Carolina State. We blew them out of the water. So it sucks. You get punched in the mouth, but the schedule doesn't take any breaks, right? Like, Ohio State, you have Duke this year. You play USC. Clemson just lost to Florida State. Like, you still have games against ranked opponents that you can pick up what you lost out there on Saturday. And I said it on my NIU podcast. I'll say it on this podcast. I went from watching the guy that I do a live show with at NIU get benched and them losing, to go watch Notre Dame lose, to wake up on Sunday to watch the Bears get absolutely embarrassed in front of Taylor Swift, and then Monday, Cubs blown loss. Tuesday, or Monday, the Cubs had off, so they didn't lose that day. But Tuesday, Cubs blown loss. Wednesday, Cubs blown loss. So I couldn't buy a win right now in any of the sports that I watch if I wanted to. I need the boys on Saturday. I need Sam Hartman and Audric Esme. And I need Marcus Freeman to call a good game. Absolutely have to bounce back. And it's a very bettable spread, and I'm nuking it. It kills me too, man, because I'm the type of person, and I told you guys all on Saturday, I told you, don't be like me, you know, bet it responsibly. I had it as the last leg of two parlays that were plus a lot, and I had them solo, like, profit boosted, so, like, I was due to win a lot more money than I do on a normal Notre Dame game, and it was Ohio State. It was huge, top 10 game at home. Everything you know, you always want to watch when you tune into a Notre Dame game on Saturday. High stakes, high level opponent. We need to play our best to beat the best. And we didn't have it out there on Saturday. Like, it wasn't our best game at all. And we were lucky to be in the position to go ahead and win the game. But after Henderson scored, I don't know why. I thought that they would be able to rally the troops. They did. They just weren't able to hold on until the 60th minute. And unfortunately, in this world, that's how we grade the win and loss in a football game. Who is leading after the 60th minute? We didn't hold the lead, you know, a lot longer than they did. It was probably even, because the game was very archaic and just terrible in the first half. 3-0. Awful. But you went toe-to-toe with them. We know what we're going to need in those type of games, the games against Clemson's and the USC's and even Duke. Duke knocked off Clemson, so you cannot look at what we're about to go into lightly. But the way I look at it is, it's a lot easier to rebound from a loss in October or September than it is in November. You lose in November, kiss it goodbye. You're going to the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I don't know if that's, but I hope that's not one of the CFP Bowls this year. That would be a bad reference, but you get what I'm trying to say. If you lose in the first quadrant of the season, or the first half of the season, first third or fourth, whatever number we're at, right? You can get past it if you have enough resume building wins on the second half of your schedule and you get some help. That's what we lost on Saturday. Not only did we lose the game on Saturday, but we lost the ability to control our own destiny. The season is not over. Some may view it that way, right? Ohio State still has to play Penn State, still has to play Michigan. Kind of rooting for them in those spots, considering they beat us. And kind of like how we were rooting for Clemson to beat Florida State on Saturday, but it didn't happen. But there is still an avenue to build this resume with the games that we have left. Why not us? And it starts this Saturday. I won't do players of the game. First time we lost this season, I'm not going to give out a participation trophy for the game that we fucking needed. Like, I need the air that I'm trying to breathe right now, as I still have a raspy voice from Saturday and I'm just struggling. But in my eyes, you come into this game and you play the game of football that you know you're capable of, and there's no reason why you don't win it by two possessions. The spread opened up against Duke this upcoming week at -5.5. I'm going to pull it up and see if it's moved any which way, but Notre Dame under a touchdown, Notre Dame plus sign next to it. Like, these are auto bets for me. I will absolutely have it in my bet slip on Saturday, and it's actually a night game. So it's the ABC game. It's on at 6:30. 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. I'm sorry. I'm the Illinois Irish guy. But -6.5 is actually what it opened up at, and it has moved to -5.5. Listen, brother, people are going to think that we are going to be reeling and it's going to be hard for us to try and bounce back against Duke, right? The better team wins on Saturday. I promise you that. There will be no fluke shit. And in my eyes, the better team is Notre Dame. It is a huge bounce back spot for us. And there is no way on this earth, not touchdown Jesus' earth, that we are losing back-to-back games this season. The team is too strong. It is going to find a way to win a football game on Saturday. And -5.5, I'm going to be responsible. It'll be the last leg. Maybe Notre Dame money line will be the last leg of some parlays, but I am definitely, like, I will have this on my card on Saturday, at least for one unit, maybe two. But if I have a parlay going, I'll try to piece together something in the early slate and use Notre Dame as the last leg. Just because, I don't know, I just want my team to win, and I do think that they will go out there and do just that on Saturday. One thing I will say is that, you know, the quarterback position is a position that they're very strong at with Duke right now. Riley Leonard is a quality quarterback. He's a great runner. He is not as polished of a passer, but we've seen over the years that when we face these running quarterbacks, they present different problems for us. And I look for guys like Morris LaFau, guys like Jack Kaiser, to have big games to try and make him beat us with his arm, because that's what it's going to come down to. We had to make Kyle McCord beat us with his arm, and 59 minutes and 57 seconds last week, he didn't fucking do it. But when it came down to winning time, he was able to make the play and was able to beat us. And with Riley Leonard, he's a dual threat quarterback. You have to just always key in on him. And it's a week that I would not hate for us to have a quarterback spy. Call him Morris LaFau. Let him be the quarterback spy. You guys know I love the way he plays sideline to sideline, and I think it's the perfect week for him to go out there and have a big game. I'll run through Duke's schedule. So obviously you guys have heard me talk about a million times because they absolutely pummeled Clemson, and that's their marquee win on the season. They won that one 28-7. They beat Lafayette at home. So they played three home games to start the season. They beat Lafayette at home 42-7. They smashed Northwestern 38-14, who I actually was at the Northwestern game on Saturday. Saw them come back from down 21 against Minnesota and PJ Fleck. And they beat UConn 41-17 or 41-7. And that was last weekend. So 4-0. It's crazy too, because I can remember like placing my Duke spread bet like it was fucking yesterday, and it was four games ago. So the season's flying by. They are ranked 17 coming into this matchup. So top 11 through 20 matchup, we're ranked 11th. We didn't fall too far. I respect the polls for not being absolute cucks and just trying to drive us down the rankings because we lost one game. But we lost, and we're on a Duke, and that's, you know, that's why we're on to the second half of this episode, because it's the Duke side, not the Ohio State side. But 5.5 points, we're on the road. I guess you could say this is like our second true road game, right? And it's an ACC opponent. The ACC, obviously, you all know we play six games against the ACC every year, so we're familiar with the Duke team. We've played them year in and year out, maybe not every year, but we play these ACC teams all the time. And this Duke team right now, they're in the same similar position that we were in last week, right? They've played four games, okay? And the only team, actually none of them. So Clemson, good team, probably shouldn't have beat them, outkicked their coverage. Lafayette, walkthrough game. Northwestern, at the time that they played them, was not where they are in their season, where they're ripping off a 21-point comeback. Like I know that was only 2 weeks ago, but it's not the same Northwestern team that I saw in person out there on Saturday. And then UConn. While Jim Moore Jr. has had UConn do great things, right, this year, last year, or just since he's been at UConn, they are not the level of an ACC program. So this is, in their eyes, the first, like, real opponent in my eyes. Like, this is, outside of the Clemson game, their first true test, because week one, everyone's vulnerable, right? Upsets are prone to happen, especially in college football. But both teams know their identity. Both teams are, you know, not halfway through the season, but they've both played four or five games. Like, this is our halfway point in the season right here. We'll be at six games after we play Duke on Saturday. And it could be a game that if Duke wants to make a run at the college football playoff, they absolutely have to have it, right? They're as sick as that fucking sounds, right? I just said Duke and college football playoff in the same sense. I don't think they're a good enough team, but there is an avenue for it, right? They already knocked off Clemson. They play us. They play at Florida State. They play at North Carolina. And then they play all the other teams that, you know, the ACC could be, you know, they're prone to an upset just like everyone else is. But there's a sicko, bizarro world where if Duke goes undefeated, or Duke even goes 12-1 or 11-1 with an ACC championship, we've seen sicker shit in college football. But they got to get past us on Saturday. I don't think it happens. I think we give them their first loss of the season. On the offensive side of the ball, you got to get back to the basics. You have to throw the football well. You have to feed Audric Estime. And you just have to do what we did the first few weeks of the season, where it didn't matter whether or not it was Estime getting a bunch of carries or one of the other backs, or it was Sam Hartman throwing the ball all over the yard. We were putting up points. We were moving the ball. We were doing it in a variety of different ways, whether it was a quick drive or a long, you know, beat you up drive. We were finding ways to score damn near every time we touched the football. Have to get back to that. The over-under for this game is 52, and they have given us a 69.4% chance to win to a 30.6% chance for Duke. So two-thirds us, a third them. Like, I don't hate it. Like I said, if you're smart and can find a way to piece together, you know, two, three legs of a parlay and want to throw Notre Dame money line as the last leg at minus 200, like, not terrible value. I don't hate it. If you got a profit boost, definitely do it. But we're not losing back-to-back games. The shit that we got wrong last week, you bet your ass is getting corrected this week. There will be no 10-men issue ever again. I also saw Tua, I was just on Notre Dame Twitter earlier in the week, or just scanning the timeline from the On Tap Irish page. Tyler Horka, who covers the team as well, he said, or he posted, it was a video of us having 10 men on the field against Tennessee State. And it was before the Ohio State game. He said, it better not happen again this season in a spot that can hurt us. Sure as shit, happens in a spot later on in the season, and it did hurt us. It cost us a game. So it is what it is. Discipline-wise, that'll be there. Defensively, we're going to look to contain the quarterback, and like I said, he's going to have to beat us with his arm. They have weapons on the outside, and they like to run the football without the quarterback via the running back position. And either way they run the ball, like, you're going to have to shut down the run and make this kid beat you with his arm. Because if it gets into a duel and it's a shootout between Sam Hartman and Riley Leonard and he's not able to use his legs, we'll blow him out of the water. But that's in a perfect world, and that's just not how college football works. This guy will probably get close to 50 yards, if not 100. I saw him rip off like a 44-yarder alone against Clemson, so he can break off big ones as well. He doesn't just have between-the-tackle speed, or, you know, he has great speed for a quarterback, and he's athletic. So have to key in on that. And you also have to take a look at their two top backs. So they use two backs, Jordan Waters, and the second back is Jacquez Moore. Waters on the season is 39 carries, 6.6 average. So somebody's got to put a fucking cork in that. Let's I think a goal is let's shave 0.6 off that. Let's get him back under 6 yards of carry and humble him. Leonard has 238, so only 20 less than Waters on 10 less carries, so 8.2 yards a pop. And Jacquez Moore has 184 on 35 carries, still 5.3 a clip. And all three guys have broken off a run of 35 yards plus, with Leonard leading the pack with that 44-yarder that I talked about. But their running back room and the quarterback, so there is a third back with about 20 carries, Peyton Jones, who averages 3.6 yards a carry. He does have one touchdown. Moore has two. Leonard has four, and Waters has seven. So 14 rushing touchdowns through four games. Passing on the year, like I said, not like jump off the page numbers, but Leonard is a 67% completion percentage. He's thrown for 778 yards in four games. So like I said, not too many yards. He likes the short stuff, the slant routes, stuff that he can keep in front of him and lets his guys go and make a play after. Keep everything in front of you. This guy's not going to beat us deep. He's going to try and nickel and dime us. He's going to try and read option us. They're going to try and wear us down with the three-headed monster that is their backfield. And it's going to be a tough game. It will probably finish, I would say, about 7 to 14 points in our favor. But to throw a number on it, I'll say we get back to our ways of scoring 30 points. I'll say that we win this game 31 to 20. Finishes right underneath the over-under. I'm sorry. I think our defense looked really good against a great opponent last week. No reason why they can't do the same again this week. And I think the offense gets back to a 30-point performance. I think it's a marquee performance for Sam Hartman. 300 yards, three touchdowns, the whole nine. Great completion percentage. Just looks phenomenal, looks the part. Inserts himself, not necessarily back in the Heisman top three, but like, let's not forget this guy's still having a great season. And if we can get to the college football playoff, he deserves a seat at the table. But that's a story for another day. We are in 1-0 each week mode. We cannot afford to look ahead. We have to just focus on the opponent that we have ahead of us, find a way to win that football game, rinse and repeat. And we have Duke on the docket this week. It is at Duke. We've played there before, so I remember night games at Duke. It's a tough game. Should be a close game in the first half, and I think we pull away in the second. But like I said, 31-20 Notre Dame. Sam Hartman on the offensive side of the ball. And then just with the nature of the running quarterback, I need 10-plus from my guy, Morris LaFowl. We'll be back with you guys on the other side of the game to break down, hopefully a win, get us back in the win column against Duke here. And then we will also be getting you guys ready for our seventh game of the season. It's crazy. We're already on the other half of this schedule against Louisville. It's another away game. So you take on Duke this week. You take on Louisville on the 7th. And then the schedule has aligned perfectly because it's not too far away from our first loss of the season. USC comes to town on October 14th. And then we finally get a bye week. So three big games before this bye week. Got to find a way to go 3-0. It starts this week with Duke. Way back with you guys on the other side to break down this game and get you guys ready for Louisville. We really do appreciate you guys for tuning into this week's show. Gutted about last week's loss. Got to find a way to get back on track. Go out there and beat those Dukies and go Irish.